It's that time again.
Watch out!
Here it comes.
Watch out!
Here it comes.
Watch out!
Courtside Podcast. I'm your host, Hank McCoy, and with me, the People's Champ.
The champ is here.
Vinrock, Vince. Welcome back to the show.
Gee, I haven't missed that at all.
I was going to say, I haven't had to do that in a little while. It's still there, still got it.
I don't think you ever had it. Before we start and introduce our special guest, shout out to Tom Donovan. You can shut up now. We're recording.
We've had a few. Hate mail, hate messages, if you will. Where's the show? Some not so subtle as others. We'll just leave it at that. And with his alarm clock set extra early this morning, we want to welcome a very special guest, Kamal Hilton. Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Thank you for having me. I've never heard your intro live before. It sounds like you're in a pop-up blood vessel.
Does it sound like the real thing?
Yeah, it sounds the person.
Right on. Some people think I edit that.
Yeah, hence the screamer.
For all our Courtside members out there, of course, you'll know Kamal from his work with Gaffer and Hooligan.
Yeah, that's on the soccer side of things.
That's on the soccer side of things, but you're Canadian. You get around.
Yes.
Red Nation Online, TSN.
Yeah, NBA Nation Australia.
Yeah, you're doing it all these days, man. It's well-deserved, man.
Thank you.
Hey, just come on. When you make it big, son, just don't forget us, all right?
I won't. You guys can't see it because the camera's not on, but I am wearing the Courtside T-shirt.
Ah, you're the man. You're the man.
Attaboy.
I felt I should dress for the show.
Oh, you dressed for the show?
Wait, we were getting dressed? Wait. Well, let's kick off the show, guys. Jump straight into the Western Conference. There's a little team make a little bit of a rumbling out there, and that's the Oklahoma City Thunder. 35-28 on the year so far. 8th in the West, and 7-3 in their last 10, guys. Mr. Triple-Double, Russell Westbrook, putting up 2K numbers.
Like, when I was coming home from one of the Raptor games, I was looking at Twitter, and that was when, he tied Jordan with the amount of triple-doubles or something like that.
Yeah, the most consecutive triple-doubles, was it?
I think something along he tied some sort of insane record. Mm. But and that was, a night of, Anthony Davis went nuts, and Hassan Whiteside went nuts, and then LeBron went off in the game against the Raptors, yep. And then I look at Twitter and I see Russell Westbrook slide, and that just completely shocked me.
I think he's had 6 triple-doubles over the last 7 games.
What human does that? That's insane.
I don't think Kamal's seen me play yet.
You only play at night time, don't you, in the dark?
pretty much, on the PlayStation.
I've got to ask the question. It's been on everyone's lips. I mean, obviously, you know, the Mr. Consistencies this year have been James Harden, Stephen Curry. You know, the records really speak for himself. You know, tip of the cap to Harden, who's been doing it without Dwight Howard. But this has got to put Westbrook right up in contention, right? Do you think it's a little bit too late, or do you think, you know, the numbers are that impressive? You know, he's making NBA history right now that it's got to be enough to put him in the conversation.
I don't think so. That's taking away from what Harden and Curry have been doing all year.
Yeah.
He just missed too many games in the beginning of the season for you to consider him an MVP.
Well, I sort of agree with Kamal, but I think he's definitely up there. I don't think he'll get it. Like Kamal said, Curry and Harden been doing it all year. Rusty has missed a lot of games, but I honestly think it's going to go Curry, Harden, Westbrook. I just think an interesting thing with this whole OKC team and it's all about next year for them with the moves they've made, you know, with your life partner coming in, Enes Kanter.
You're a dick.
DJ Augustine coming in. I think it's all about next year. I wouldn't even play Durant for the rest of the year. That stress fracture seems pretty serious. I think it's all about next year. I think we should learn what Westbrook is doing.
Well,
because like you said, he's making history. It's awesome to watch.
I agree with you to an extent. I mean, I don't think it's worth KD, you know, rushing back. They've definitely made some moves to, you know, we pointed out at the start of the year, Vince, you know, they just didn't feel like they had the depth to go, to make any noise in the playoffs with KD or Westbrook healthy. I mean, those guys healthy alone, you know, yeah, that's enough to get into the playoffs, but how deep do you want to go? But, you know, they make some moves, obviously bringing in Dion Waiters, Enes Kanter, and DJ Augustine. I mean, they've sort of solidified what's coming off the bench now a little better.
The great thing I like about Kanter is that he's someone they can throw the pill into in the post, which they didn't have for however long they've had Perkins for.
Well, he's
Ibaka just draining threes down. So I honestly think it's all about next year.
I like Vince's point because with Ibaka, he doesn't really go into the post like he used to. He's more with shooting the ball and taking threes and I don't have the stats in front of me, but his three-point numbers must be going up from last year, the amount that he stays out there. So, and then they need, then it kind of doesn't balance the court enough. So,
how good a feeling must it be if you're a Thunder fan to unload that Perkins contract?
And Reggie Jackson.
Oh, yeah.
You guys are fans of Reggie?
I liked him, but, I mean, apparently the rest of their locker room didn't.
You got a story on that? You're a Scoots man. What's any rumors or?
Well, I did hear that he was on his locker is on the opposite side of the room as Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant, and then it used to be Waiters beside Reggie Jackson, and then I guess they noticed they don't want Reggie Jackson influencing him, so they moved Dion Waiters' locker next to Durant and Westbrook. They kind of moved off Reggie Jackson onto an island, and then they shipped him out.
Man,
interesting.
I'm not buying it. Where's KD has just become the biggest sourpuss. Like, if there's one guy on this team that I've just really, like, the shining's starting to rub off. Like, it's KD for me. I just think he's the way he's come out and now addressing. You know, he's gone from I'm your NBA golden boy to I don't want to deal with the media anymore. You know, I'm just going to say what I feel. Like, he really does feel like an adolescent now. Like, call me crazy, Vince. Call me crazy. But with the numbers that Westbrook's putting up and the way he's leading his team, it mightn't be a bad option to see what you get for KD. If he's looking to go back to Washington, well, hey, it might be a good thing.
I think it's more of made it into a WWE type thing and he turned heel. I think he got he got sick of all the questions about moving back to DC and everybody's questioning Scott Brooks, and then he told that we don't know shit.
Yeah.
And I think he's just turning heel. He's had enough.
I really wish NBA players would take the wrestling look on interviews. It'd be great. Imagine KD sitting out for interviews. I'm going to tear him apart. I'm going to rip him limb for limb. I'm going to drop 42.
Okay, that was one of the worst promos I've ever heard. we always say we want players to be honest and not give us the cliched answers. He finally is, and you're getting on his back.
I've said from the start, I don't think he's the golden boy that everyone thinks he is. That's all I'm saying. and I've said for a long time, Vince, that I think Westbrook needs his own team. I think that squad in OKC really has gone as far as they'll go for me.
Well, no. I'll tell you what, before the trade, yes. After the trade, I'm like I said before, it's all about next year.
You're going to give me a year.
The team is locked and ready to go for next season.
All right. Well, final question on OKC before we press on. Clinging, and I say clinging, to 8th seed in the West right now. Do they hold on to the playoffs?
We talked about this a month ago, would you believe? The Suns are rallying behind them. Yeah, if that's the case, they're staying in eighth.
See, I originally had said, no, I don't think they're going to finish the job and make it.
Hmm.
But I didn't see this with Westbrook and their team. This, that was also before the moves they made, so their team's a lot deeper. I think they do it.
Can Westbrook keep this up? I mean, let's look at that Philly game. I mean, yeah, his numbers have been massive, but it took him that output from Westbrook and an overtime to get past Philly, who have been playing much improved since they unloaded everyone on their roster. But I don't know if he can sustain this, and I think the big question mark is, you know, what are they going to get at KD when he comes back? But honestly, I don't think they hang on to it.
Look, just a final thought on that, what you just said. Don't be surprised if they make the playoffs and there's a massive letdown, because they've expended so much energy climbing back into the playoff picture. And a lot of times when you get there, teams in any sport who climb into the playoff picture or finals race, whatever you want to call it, there's usually a big letdown.
Great segue. Speaking of big letdowns, let's jump to the Phoenix Suns. 33-32 on the season so far. They're currently sitting 10th in the West. 4-6 in their last 10. Tragic. Dragic.
Yeah, well, I mean, as much as the Suns, I think, would have liked to keep Dragic, you can't keep a guy who doesn't want to be there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they had to offload him. I didn't see them getting rid of Isaiah Thomas.
I mean, it's... As weird as the situation was and as awkward as Dragic made the situation by literally, I don't think I've seen a player for a long time call out ownership the way he did. I like how they handled the situation. I like how the fact they went, you know what, we've got a problem with these two players. I think behind scenes there was probably a little bit of a rift going on with Isaiah Thomas and Dragic. But I like the fact that they just went, you know what, let's wipe our hands. If there are problems, we move them on. I think you can attest to this, Vince. You know, Brandon Knight, I mean, nearly snuck in as an all-star in the East. So, you know, they are getting some value back on the pieces they moved.
I'd rather drink that terrible coffee I just had than talk about the Suns, but I will. what I want the Suns to do is to decide who's going to be their starting point guard. Is it going to be Knight or Bledsoe? Make a bloody decision and get rid of the other one that you don't want. Because they're just... Why they went for 800 point guards is just pick one, get it back up, and that's it. You'll get something good for either of them. I just don't like this with this team.
I tell you what it is with me, with this team, it's the style fit. I mean, last year we saw Phoenix nearly sneak into the playoffs, a massive turnaround. No one saw coming. I don't care what anyone says. No one saw that happening with Phoenix last year. Okay, maybe they overshot a little bit, but this year, you know, that team was... so athletic, so young, get up and down the court. Dragic is a point guard who will ram it down your throat every single possession. He's looking for that one-man fast break. That's his game. You know, you've got Bledsoe who complements that. I just don't know if Brandon Knight, he's not that same guy. So they lose that dynamic with this team. They bring in Brandon Knight, who's a steadier, run-the-system point guard. So I don't know if this, they've broken up the dynamic too much by moving Dragic. I mean, maybe in hindsight, it was a bad move bringing in Isaiah Thomas, but I just think there'll be a better team next year with Knight, you know, under the system a bit longer. But
what do you do with Bledsoe?
I think you keep him.
I think you have to keep him, no?
Yeah,
because
you've got
to. They give him I don't know his contract situation, but didn't they pay him a whole lot of money too long ago?
It wasn't max, but it wasn't far off.
So, yeah, I think, don't you think they would stick with him and just kind of rent Brandon Knight and then kind of deal him when they can?
Well, yeah, I've been keeping Bledsoe for sure. I just love what he does out there. They just seem to be a team with no plan.
I don't know. I feel like they had it, but then they lost it. You know, they tried to do too much. Yeah, they've got picks for days up their sleeves, but they've kind of hurt the team. And I mean, they're in the Western Conference. The style they were playing was working for them. Sure, it needed like another season of fine-tuning, but they've broken up one of the key guys that, and I don't think they'll be able to get that back.
Yeah, I don't see it either. Like, they have some pieces of it. Like I really like P.J. Tucker.
Oh, P.J. Love P.J. Tucker.
Yeah, it's hard to believe that the Raptors had him.
Oh,
drafted him. But, yeah, I like him. I like the good Morris twins.
See, I've got a problem with the Morris twins. I actually think they hurt the team.
No, the good Morris twin. I don't care about the other one.
No, I think they're both as bad as each other. Yeah, one's putting out a pretty good, you know, numbers, but when I watch Phoenix games, both of those guys, they're always the instigators.
Yeah, I don't like how they're always like, I don't understand you sharing your contract and I don't know. I'm clear, if me and Hank were twins, and I'm clearly better than Hank, why am I going to share my money with you?
Or I wouldn't share with you.
Yeah, I don't get it either, but I just feel like those guys, they haven't been humbled yet. Do you know what I mean? They haven't been humbled. Like, they're still playing the game like they did in college, hot-headed and ego, and that's not going to win in the league.
I don't think they have the right coach for that.
I like Hornacek. I think he's...
I mean in terms to make them mature. Like, I like him as a coach, but yeah. I know he had that rule where if you got a technical, you're sitting for the rest of the game.
Yeah.
Which he did that to Dragic, and that probably pissed him off.
Well, he did that to a few guys. Though. I mean, Gerald Green has been missing half this year.
Yeah, I don't know. That's more of a do that in college thing where you can afford to do that. I don't know if you can afford to do that in the NBA.
Yeah.
Sit a guy for a whole game because you got a technical.
Tell you what deserves a technical, though. The new sleeve jerseys they brought out.
Oh, my God.
Okay, it's one thing to have a sleeve jersey. Everyone who listens to the show, they know our stance on sleeve jerseys. But the grey actually looks really horrible on live television. Like, when they pan out and all you see is this sea of light grey, it's not appealing to watch.
I don't know who's buying those, so I don't know why they're making.
Anyone who owns an NBA sleeve jersey who's a fan should be shot. I wouldn't even shammy my carbon.
Taken out to the paddocks, huh?
Oh, mate. Oh, listen, I implore our millions and millions of listeners to
wait,
get on Twitter.
Wait, what show are you on?
just get on Twitter at NBA and just beg them to stop this. No offense, Kamal, I know you like soccer, but this is not soccer. It looks... players don't like it. Next, there's going to be... everyone's going to be wearing jersey T-shirts and there's going to be advertising plastered all over.
Well,
it's not looking good.
That's my thinking behind it, is they're introducing now so that when they move to bring in branding onto the jerseys, there's a little bit more room.
Mate, I'll tell you what, I'll give the bloody game away if that happens. I'll give it away.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to it. I mean, I don't know. I just feel like sometimes when I see someone wear a sleeve jersey, I just sort of think, are you a real fan?
Basketball for 100 years has been played in shorts.
And a singlet.
And a bloody singlet. Don't mess with tradition.
Yeah, I have no argument. I don't know if I'd go so far as to shoot people for not for wearing them, but I mean...
Oh, no, you'd be surprised. It feels quite good, Kamal. Great stress reliever. And if you've got a problem, mate.
I think you played too much Grand Theft Auto.
Not enough.
Well, let's move now from the Western Conference straight over to the East and...
Whoa. No Lake at all?
Mate, really? You really want to talk about L.A.?
No, not really.
I thought not. Have another sip of that coffee.
Oh, shit. Worst coffee in the world.
Well, there you go. You just summed up your Laker talk.
One of those sachets again.
You can't have coffee in a sachet, Vince.
There's a cappuccino in a sachet.
That's it's not right. It's not logical. It's not right.
I said it was shit.
It's like wearing a sleeve jersey. It's like wearing a sleeve jersey. You just don't do it. No.
Worse.
so then we shoot them.
Part of the temple would be good right there.
Let's go straight to the Eastern Conference, guys. I want to talk about this team. I thought we're going to contend start of the year. I don't know what happened somewhere around All-Star weekend, but it feels like everyone fell apart after All-Star weekend. I'm talking about this Washington Wizards team.
I'm happy they're kind of struggling. Everybody's struggling.
Helps the Raptors out a lot.
Raptors are struggling. But, I mean, in terms of the playoff matchups, I'd rather match up with Washington.
Really?
Than Milwaukee. Even though I hate Milwaukee, like the city of Milwaukee, I'm not a big fan of the city of Milwaukee. But I'd rather play Washington. It's true. There's nothing
to do with it. Kamal wages war on Milwaukee.
Well, I mean, it's just boring, and there's nothing to do, and everybody you ask, they say that's the worst NBA city.
You don't know what you've done now. There are Milwaukeeans on the border with your photo waiting for you to try and get in, and they're going to kick you out.
Hey, they don't have to worry about me because I'm not going to go.
Clearly, Kamal's never been to Adelaide.
Zing!
I'm willing to guess. No, I've never been there, but I'm willing to guess it's better than Milwaukee.
Well,
they don't even like basketball. They like the Green Bay Packers. That's their team. Stick to football. We should contract them or move their team. Seattle.
Oh, don't start that. Don't start that.
No, I agree. Move them to Seattle.
They don't deserve a team.
Washington, 36-28, fifth in the East right now, but only 3-7 their last 10. I've got to say, they stink. I know they won today. Fantastic. Let's bust out the parade, but they stink lately. And John Wall. Man, he looks like he's lost his fire. What happened to the chip on the shoulder we saw at the start of the year? You know, him getting snubbed from teams, snubbed from selections. Where has that fire in the belly gone for this Washington team? Because they look subpar right now.
Did they get Bradley Beal back?
I believe he's back now, yeah.
Well, I don't think they had him for, a good little while. So that's
even still, man, some of the teams they're losing against... Terrible.
Yeah. I got three words for you. The Whitman Sampler.
I knew it was coming.
I've said it till I was blue in the face. Whitman.
You've said it for three seasons now.
He's a poo coach. He's a career assistant. And I'm telling you now, that team is just about had enough of him.
I actually said that he's more like a cockroach because he can't kill him.
You can't,
You're chasing that one cockroach around, and you're trying to kill him, and he just won't die.
And you even hit him, and he gets up and runs away,
Yeah, that is Randy Whitman.
Yeah.
Somehow he still has a job.
His hair does look like a kind of shell shape as well, I've got to say, in some way. But, man, I don't know. This team's lacking confidence. I know they had Paul Pierce out for a while. It's been playing great for him. But even their... Even the bigs look lackluster. I mean, they don't even look like... I don't know. I don't know what's going on this team. Maybe it was the Andre Miller trade. What a sideways move. Andre Miller for Ramon Sessions. What a move.
That's more of a George Karl wanting his buddy in Sacramento.
Definitely.
Getting Ramon Sessions.
Definitely. But, man...
Ramon's okay, though. Ramon's had some big games in the league.
And he's probably followed him up with a... DNP.
Check out his numbers. They're not that bad.
I know they're not bad. He was quite good in Charlotte. I did like him in Charlotte. But I don't know. I just feel like a change has to come for Washington because at the moment, they don't even look like they challenge the Pacers.
Yeah, I agree.
Maybe someone like Adelman would be good coaching them.
What about Brian Shaw?
I was just about to say that.
I honestly, Brian Shaw doesn't get that Orlando job. I think...
I'd rather take Washington than Orlando.
Well, right? So would I. But I was even thinking he would either take the... or have a run at the Washington gig or the Minnesota gig.
But players don't like Brian Shaw.
No, the Nuggets don't like Brian Shaw.
Yeah.
I think there's players that like
him. The Nuggets don't like GM of the Year and Coach of the Year, so...
Well, that's not entirely true. They did win, 50-odd games.
But then they traded him. They got rid of him. They fired him.
Yeah, but that's not on the players. The players still wanted him around.
That's right.
For some reason, Brian Shaw...
You reckon he rubs players the wrong way?
Maybe he's not a players coach. I mean, how do you lose your players after one and a bit seasons?
Well, this
but
is the...
then I have to question the players if you're chanting 1, 2, 3, 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Like, I question you.
I don't think that's fair, because I don't think Brian Shaw really got to have his team. I mean, essentially, he was stuck with the same team that George Karl left.
Yeah, and they slowly gutted it, and yet...
slowly, before they fired him.
The Rooster got injured again.
The Rooster!
My countryman. Yeah, I don't know, man. Maybe he's just another, like I say, career assistant.
Well, I mean, this Wizards team, like, you know... I'm looking at the start of the year, how well they were firing and geared up. You know, this team had this massive chip on their shoulders to where they are now, a sorry state of the basketball squad. The roster looks great, so I find it hard to question the pieces on the roster because they've got enough talent, and even Otto Porter's playing great right now.
Remember, you know how I'm really good at picking coaches?
How could I... You remind me every week on the show, how could I forget...
Well, remember I sent you a number of shows ago now, Sam Cassell, I'd hire him in a heartbeat. He's sitting right there.
I was just about to say, if we weren't going to see Brian Shaw, then you might as well promote Sam Cassell.
That's it, see? We're on the same wavelength here.
Is Cassell still in Washington? I thought he went to...
Yeah, no, he's in Washington.
Okay.
Or no, he's with the Clippers.
I was going to say, I thought he was with Doc back
then. Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Well, I'll just hire him anyway.
Yeah, why not? Doc could let him go.
Well, you have to for a head coaching job, but I've said it before, he'd be my pick to coach there. Whitman's done.
Gone before the end of the year, or...?
No, after they get knocked out of the playoffs, he's gone.
First round exit?
How many wins have they got this year?
36.
I tell you what, me, you, or Kamal could coach them the 36 wins with that roster.
Mm.
All on the back of John Wall, running the offense.
I just don't get it. Like, morale looks down. I mean, I'm...
It's Whitman, man. It's Whitman.
What's going on?
I think because he's survived for so long, I don't want to say he's finally going to get fired. I think he should be, but his cockroach-like mentality of, I'm just going to survive, I'm just going to survive. I think he might survive.
Wow.
Kamal, book it, Kamal. As soon as they're knocked out of the playoffs, he's gone.
I hope so.
Oh, you can book it, son.
Well, let's move now to the Cleveland Cavaliers. 40-25, currently second in the East. 7-3 in the last 10, guys. They've definitely turned it around.
You don't have to tell me twice. I had to see them do it in person.
I suppose the two games that really, I don't know, for me were like, all right, I don't think they're getting past these squads. All right, one was the Houston game, which was pretty close, went to OT. But that, you know, Atlanta just had their number this year. Oh, and by the way, Kevin Love, he's not a stretch four.
It made me laugh. Why did he even bother?
Why does he have a three-point shot if he's not a stretch four?
Seriously, can he just re-sign with them? I don't want him anywhere near the Lakers.
I couldn't believe that when I read that. I laughed so hard. I was like, what do you mean? That's what you...
I think he averages 7 3-point shots a game.
No, but he's still not a stretch four, Vince.
Jesus.
It's just he's got bad vision. He's got bad vision, and he thought he was at the free throw line. That's all.
He looked like Ray Allen against us. He's just knocking down threes. Like, crazy.
Yeah, I watched that game. I didn't want to bring it up because I thought it might be a bit of a sore point, but...
we're sucking right now.
So yeah.
Really good, man. I mean, Cleveland, I don't know, they're rounding into shape. I think with so many, like, with Raptors struggling and the Wizards struggling, I think they're getting it together at just the right time. The Bulls have all their injuries.
Yeah.
I mean...
Oh, what else is new?
They have to be your favorite in the East now.
Whoa.
Whoa, what?
Favorite in the East?
There is the Hawks, but I mean...
Yeah, there is the Hawks.
And I like them. I like that story. I hope they can get past the Eastern Conference Finals and get into the finals. That'd be an amazing story. Yeah, my boy Dennis Schroeder.
Oh, yeah, your boy Schroeder, man. He's playing well. Kevin Love feels like a little bit of an outsider. He has his, you know, he has had his games this season, but he just doesn't look the fit. Kyrie Irving is still doing way too much ball handling, way too much. And LeBron doesn't want to be Magic Johnson, so I don't know. It's, for me, this Cleveland team's coming down to these benches. You know, it's what they're going to get out of Shumpert. It's what they're going to get out of Mozgov. It's what they're going to get out of J.R. Smith. I just don't know if that's enough firepower.
This Cavs team actually reminds me a little bit of the 06 Heat team. They didn't start off great. They had an okay middle. And towards the end, they really turned on. And pretty much a lot of the same questions were asked. You know, can they win with Antoine Walker and all this sort of stuff and the bench? You know, Jason Williams running the point. All those same sort of questions. But and we said it in past episodes. As long as they're playing best basketball at the point end of the season, anything can happen. And they proved it with that 06 Heat team and also the Mavs team. Like Kamal said, with the Bulls' injuries, and I don't think the Hawks can make the NBA Finals, I think they're a massive chance to come out of the East now.
Yeah.
Yeah, the moves, all the moves they made, except for J.R. Smith, were with an eye towards defense.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was their one main deficiency, and they failed it.
I honestly feel like they could still be where they're at without Kevin Love. I just feel like Tristan Thompson's that good.
I love Tristan Thompson, and I agree. I mean, sure, getting Kevin Love is great.
But he is not a stretch four, though.
Shut up for a minute. I just think Thompson's the perfect guy to have at starting at power forward. He doesn't demand the ball. He doesn't care if he gets 5 shots or 15. And he'll really damn play D and block some shots. And it's going to sound strange, but a fair fit for that team.
Yeah. Because he was a guy I was, when I was on the Timberwolves Explosion show, Joey! He's a guy I thought Minnesota really should have went after to get included with that Kevin Love trade.
Totally agree. But I still think Cavs, they just keep rolling the way they roll, and I'll surprise a few people.
He's got a great post game. I hope he keeps developing there because I think he's very underrated.
He'd look good back in Toronto.
I'd take him. I mean, we have Amir Johnson, who everybody seems to want to trade right now.
But I got a soft spot for Amir Johnson. I really like him.
Yeah, I mean, he does the dirty work, and he doesn't get credit for it. But I think his time here is running out.
It's coming to an end.
Every time Terrence Ross has a bad game, they want to deal him too.
So. Terrence Ross, they need to hold on to. He just needs time. He'll be fine.
Yeah. There needs to be an upgrade somewhere. Mm-hmm. I would think the power forward spot. Because I like Patrick Patterson off the bench. But I don't think you can win, like, 2 playoff series with what we have.
Yeah. Well, I've got 2 questions left for Cleveland before we can slide on out. One is Kevin Love beyond Cleveland.
Wow. Easy answer is if they win the championship, he'll stay. And I think if they get close, he'll stay. So I'm going to say he's going to stay.
Wow. I think he's gone.
Yeah, I'd put more money on him leaving or at least testing free agency to see what he's worth out there. I mean, I don't think it makes sense for him to lock in with Cleveland right away when you know there's teams out there that'll trade the farm for a guy like Kevin Love.
Yeah.
He's going to get massive offers, but why go to the Lakers when you're way closer to a championship?
He needs the limelight. He wants to be...
But he's not a franchise...
I know that. You know that. Kamal knows that. But Kevin Love doesn't know that. Because he's not a stretch four, Vince. Okay, my last question before we bounce off Cleveland. LeBron's back this year. You know, they're hitting their strides. I've got one question about LeBron. Is he in it for the long haul in Cleveland?
Oh, that's silly. Yeah. Of course he is.
He's won titles already, but he had to leave in order to do it. The one thing I think he wants to do is win a title for a town that never won a title in I don't know how many years. They always bring up what the Cleveland Browns. So he wants to make history in his hometown. I think he stays to try and.
I think if they don't win one in 2 to 3 seasons, I think he's gone again.
Where's he gonna go?
He'll get the. Yeah, he's got the taste. He's got the taste now in his mouth.
Oh, he's not going anywhere. Like, I'm telling you.
All right, we'll see.
Not going anywhere.
We'll see. Well, guys, I think it's that time again. Jersey Worthy. Who's your Jersey Worthy of the week?
My Jersey Worthy goes to Draymond Green.
For how
he handled that punk-ass bump by Dante Jones. Dante, whatever. I don't even know his name. And Draymond Green, the way he handled it, basically by saying, I'm not going to react to it because he doesn't play. Why am I going to get fined and suspended and, you know, put my team in trouble for a guy that doesn't play? And that's his role on that team. Just the way he did that interview and his reaction after the bump. Yeah, you get my jersey worthy, Draymond.
Nice. I love the fact that those teams hate each other. I love it. I love the fact that rivalry's back. I love the fact that Dante did that. I loved everything that happened. I love that game was awesome, and those guys hate each other. Did you see Dante's response today, though?
No, I didn't.
He got a 10K fine for the bump. And he come out and he said that he didn't intentionally mean to do it, and that if he hurt his feelings, he would apologize. Zing!
Hands up if you had Dante Jones.
I like him, but no, I don't like, actually.
But you don't like DeMarcus Cousins. You make no sense.
I don't like him, but I like the fact that those teams hate each other and the fact that they go at each other, and every game they play each other, it's a war. It doesn't matter where they're at. Like, they want the win.
All I'm hearing, Kamal, is that if DeMarcus Cousins gets a check, he's either nuggly, but if Dante Jones does it, he likes it.
Oh, come on. Cousins is a knucklehead.
Yeah, you're a knucklehead.
Who's your jersey worthy, Vince?
I'm going to have to give the half rabbit, half kangaroo Russell Westbrook.
Oof.
I mean, you're buying his jersey right now. He's pretty jersey worthy.
A week worth of triple doubles averaging 40 points. It's pretty.
That's jersey worthy.
That is jersey worthy.
I wish they would allow him to wear a black mask. Just to make him look evil.
Yep. I mean, it's hard to go past Westbrook, but I'm going to give since you did already give it to him, Vince, I'm going to give like a encouragement jersey worthy.
Oh, I think it is.
Michael Beasley.
Oh, you've just redeemed yourself tonight.
I tell you what, after that Suns game, Miami Suns game, which was a fantastic game, like, wow. Start to finish, it was so chippy all game. But hearing Beasley's post-game comments, it was like, who is this guy? Like, he actually sounded mature. But, I mean, look, 23 minutes, he's averaging about 10 points, 4 rebounds a game. He's playing some great basketball right now. He just got his second 10-day contract with Miami. I hope it sticks. I hope it's this time for good, because in his own words, he realizes this is his last shot. So,
mate, he looks confident to me out there. I think that season in China where he was allowed to just ball, has done wonders for his confidence.
It did him so good.
That would be the case. And it's so good to see. We love Michael Beasley on this show. He's our boy.
He's our boy.
Yeah, I can tell. Well, I mean, I hope he does well. I like to see stories like this is always great, even though he brought a lot of his knucklehead tendencies were because of him and not any certain circumstance. But for him to go season deep in his career and then make it back into the NBA and hopefully stick, that would be a great story.
Yeah. Well, when you have winners, you have losers. The Brain Fart Award. Who's the Brain Fart?
Okay. For me, it is whosoever made that pray for Derrick Rose shrine underneath the freeway. You get my brain fart award because I know you guys are hurt. He's always hurt, and his career will never be the same, and you always want to look back, and we wish it was different kind of mentality. But to make a shrine with him, for like with candles and crutches and all these different, it's just weird. I don't know. Right? That's just
strange. I do remember seeing that on the train ride home, and I did have a little bit of a chuckle to myself.
They're trying anything they can, Kamal. It's worth a shot. They've got a mojo his knee back to health.
You know, it's not going to work. It's made of popsicle sticks and tape.
But you got to try, Kamal. You've got to try.
Vince, who's your brain fart?
Listen, I like this kid a lot. Lately, just starting to become a bit of a peanut. And that's Hassan Whiteside for the hit on Kelly Olynyk. That's which is dumb. I don't know.
Like I didn't watch the game, so it's hard to get a vibe for the chippiness vibe of the game. But he just got ejected from the Suns game with his little man hugs with Alex Len. But the ejection today just didn't seem warranted. Like his reaction didn't seem warranted.
Someone needs to tell this kid, listen, mate, you've been good for 5 minutes. Just pull your head in. Like, no need to be a knucklehead out there.
Yeah, I think part of it is maybe he feels he needs to be somewhat of a presence because Chris Bosh is out.
Mm.
And then some of it is maybe all this attention is getting to his head a little bit.
Think he's just struggled coping with it?
Yeah, I think, you know, you're fighting Alex Len and you're fighting... or you're hitting Kelly Olynyk, like Vince said, go hit DeMarcus Cousins or go hit somebody else that's actually going to fight you back, and I want to see what'll happen.
Yeah.
Imagine he did that to Charles Oakley. Whiteside would have been hospital, right?
Whiteside would be bench side.
we would be making a pray for Whiteside. Yeah.
My brain fart goes to that kid out in Cleveland, Kyrie Irving. I don't know if you guys caught the Washington-Cleveland game. Kyrie Irving walking the dog down the court. Did you see that play?
I did not.
No.
The play unfolds. They're just over half court. Kyrie, you know when they walk the dog and they let it roll before they pick it up so the clock starts? Kyrie's standing out just beyond the three-point line. The ball, he still hasn't picked the ball up. He's got John Wall guarding him. And why wouldn't you pick the rock up? John Wall dives on the ball, calls timeout. Like, literally dives between his legs, calls timeout.
Well, I guess, A, he'll learn for next time.
Man, he... I don't know what he's trying to prove. Like, we know the kid's got talent. We know this. We know he's got handles. You don't need to cross a guy over 2-3 times to go to the rack. Once is enough. Once is enough with this kid.
I'm not for you to shut up so I can hear Kamal's B point.
but B, I think that every player, every point guard tries to do that kind of thing. And you'll learn for next time. You know, you can't do that against certain guys, or you have to use your brain and know when to do it or when not to do it and who you're doing it against and stuff. So I think overall, he'll learn. Okay, I can't do that against John Wall again.
You know who wouldn't have done it? Dylan Vadova.
That is true.
Because we teach him the right way down here.
One thing about him, I really like him, and I interviewed him when Cleveland was here. But I was watching him do shoot around. He does a funny thing with his legs.
It's got like a little kick, right?
Yeah, he like flails his legs a little bit. It's funny.
Yeah.
They should have asked him about that. Like, is that how you guys learned to shoot the basketball in Australia? But then I don't want to get him mad at me.
He won't get mad at you. You want to get on his good side? Talk about the Collingwood Football Club. He'll love you.
Good. That's a good kid.
Do your research down on the fly, mate.
Okay. I'll do that next time he comes.
You'll love it. He's already got Anderson Vergio as a supporter, so he'll love you.
That's a good tip.
Well, Kamal, we want to thank you very much for joining us on the show.
No problem. Thanks for having me. I'll come back anytime you ask.
Well, I was going to say, stick around because we might minisode after this, I think.
Okay. Hey, I'm down for... I'm not going anywhere.
I was just going to say, tell the guys where they can find you now, because you're all over the shop. You're everywhere.
Yeah, you'll probably be here all day if I'm to list everything.
I mean, you're a feature writer, you're a podcast host, you're a sports journalist. I mean, the list is endless, my friend.
Yeah, I guess for basketball anyway, you can find me at NBA Nation Australia, and we're doing some interesting things there. You know, we have your friends from the Hoops podcast, Pump and
Booth
over there, and Nick Carroll and everything.
Yeah.
We have the YouTube channel where I post all the videos, try and get, as many interviews as I can. We can't get LeBron James and all of them. We're just not there yet, but when we do get there, hope to get LeBron James.
Just got to work towards that, man. You just got to work. Got to get in the right circles.
Just drop my name, you should.
Move up a bit. Yeah, but one thing, the Lakers are coming to town soon, so if you would like anybody for me to interview and ask and talk Vince Germano with any player.
Just firming the thought. Geez, you know what?
I probably can't get Kobe because he won't travel, but.
Again, dropping name, you never know. tell you what, I love Ed Davis. If you could nab Ed Davis, or...
what are you talking about? Your boy Julius Randle. God, everyone knows...
Shut up.
Everyone knows you want to have his love child.
Julius, he's another one of my boys. Jordan Hill.
You're
on Twitter, retweet Kamal's stuff, because he... I tell you, Kamal is a legend, because... If he knows you and he likes your stuff, he will retweet everything you put out. So if you see him out there promoting retweet, it takes 1 second to push the retweet button.
Yeah. And a big thank you for, always supporting the show, Kamal. We really appreciate the support. And long overdue getting you on the show, but we got there.
No problem. You know what I would do? What would be a good idea to get more support for Courtside Podcast, if I wore a different side shirt to every game and took a photo.
Oh, we could work on something like that.
Can we get on it, son?
Well, actually, it's funny you say that, because I've actually got some stuff in the works. So there is actually a reasoning behind our lack of recording of late. I'll just put it like that.
Ooh.
Some projects just need a little time.
It's like we're getting free T-shirts.
And of course, you can catch all the Courtside banter at the website www.crtsde.com, where you'll find links to the show, the Courtside Podcast, available on iTunes and Podomatic. You can find us on Instagram at crtsde and on Twitter at crtsde. Vince, where can they find you on Twitter?
At VANROK44.
Wow. That was the biggest delay you've ever done on that.
I couldn't think of what it was.
It's amazing.
Oh, dude.
For a second, I was like, maybe he doesn't want to give it anymore. Maybe he's sick of people.
Maybe you should have got the brain farting.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. Jeez. That was a shot.
You just
took a shot at me.
Well,
you had it coming, really.
Tell you what, I'm excited.
Here it comes.
Watch out!
Here it comes! Watch out!
Ball.